All right, I do have a sermon that's a little more cheerful, I think, than that. Let me set my watch. And I'm going to do something I don't normally... I don't think I've given this one here, have I? I'll give you the title. I don't usually do that, but I'll give you the title. Sabbath Before Sinai. I haven't given that here, have I? Good. I gave it... I used to keep record of where I'd given sermons, but now I'm not really keeping up with much of anything. I don't keep up with my checkbook, so if any of you happen to have some of my checks, I'm not paying any attention. Sabbath before Sinai. Now, the reason I'm giving this is before the Passover, when Lucretia was, her mind was clearer, and we went through the beginning of Exodus up to Exodus 12, and then we went through the Passover in the New Testament. We went through the Passover wherever it was in the Bible, getting ready for our keeping the Passover, which we kept at home, just the two of us. And then after the Passover, we began going through Israel, going through the wilderness. Because it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that all those things were written for our benefit. Now, they went through the Red Sea. It was a type of baptism. Then it says, but God wasn't pleased with them. Their carcasses fell in the wilderness. And then it tells about things they did. And it says, all these things are written for us. So we were going through that. And, of course, you get up to Exodus 16. Now, I want to turn to Exodus 16. The Ten Commandments at Sinai were a couple of weeks after this. About two, three weeks. The Sabbath, I believe, was 2 weeks before. And that's in Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments. Now, there are people who believe that the beginning of the Ten Commandments was when God spoke them at Mount Sinai. But, of course, that contradicts what it says in the book of Genesis, where it says Abraham kept God's commandment, statutes, laws. And back before the flood, adultery was called a sin. There were many things called sin. Where there's no law, there's no transgression. So there was law. It's just God didn't really list them out, but Abraham kept God's laws. And they say adultery was a sin. Now, if there's no law, there's no transgression. So there was a law against adultery. And some people have gone through before the flood and shown where, in one way or another, all the Ten Commandments were valid back there. But in Exodus 16, as you go through, you find that he brings up the Sabbath. And I want to cover the Sabbath before Sinai. Now, we'll read some things at Sinai and after Sinai, but they refer back to before Sinai. For instance, here in Exodus 16, and the Ten Commandments had not been spoken by God's mouth at Mount Sinai before this, but we'll start off chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin. That's confusing because the word sin to us means breaking the law of God. But that is not what it means here. Actually, the Hebrew word is pronounced that we think. We don't really know how Hebrew was pronounced back then. Languages changed. Look how Latin changed into Italian and Spanish and French and Portuguese. Latin is, people say nobody speaks Latin anymore. Well, all those countries that spoke Latin, it's just languages change through time. And so all those countries that spoke Latin now speak a variety based on Latin. Romanian is also based on Latin. And where do you get the name Romania? Rome. And the gypsies call themselves Roma, and they have a variety. So their languages change. But at least according to what they now think this Hebrew word is pronounced, it's not pronounced sin, it's pronounced seen. And it is assumed by scholars that the word seen is an Egyptian name. They just don't know what that Egyptian name meant. But it's apparently this wilderness had an Egyptian name, and the Egyptian name was seen. So, it had nothing to do with the sermon, but I just thought you'd be interested in knowing that doesn't mean the breaking of the Ten Commandments right here. It's not because they sinned at that particular spot. They probably did, but that's not the reason. Which is between Elim and Sinai on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Mr. Petty gave a sermon on murmuring. And the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Well, God's going to give them manna. And then later they're going to get so tired of the manna, they're going to say, "This worthless bread, we are so tired of it." And you'd say, "Boy, I'd like, if you could have manna, think of how much money you could make by selling it through health food stores." I mean, you'd say, "This has got to be perfect." Well, how perfect could it be? They all died if they were 20 years old and up. So it didn't keep them alive in the wilderness. But anyway, you'd say, they complained. They said, "Oh, it's worthless. You and I wouldn't have done that. We wouldn't have done that. Listen, we complain if we have chicken two nights in a row. You know, we had this last night. Well, you want to go out for Mexican? I had Mexican yesterday. Want to go out for Italian? I had Italian for lunch. We are so spoiled." And they were saying, "Oh, we want to go back where we had the meat and the fish and the cucumbers and the garlic and the onions." You know, I just love garlic and onions and cucumbers and all those things. And it says it tastes like wafers made with honey. And that sounds pretty good. But if I had it for breakfast and then lunch and then supper and then breakfast and lunch, then supper, then breakfast, "You brought us out, complain." This is for us to learn from, by the way. We're supposed to be learning from this. "Into this wilderness, kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I'll rain bread from heaven for you. And the people should go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not." Hey, law. They haven't gotten to Sinai. There's law here. Now, I'm going to test. But they'd forgotten the law. They were in Egypt a few hundred years, and, after a while, they're just going along with the Egyptians. That tends to happen. "That I may test them whether they'll walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." Now, this is really a strange thing. Think about it. They were to go out and gather every day. And those who gathered a little and those who gathered a lot, when they got back to the tent, they had exactly one omer for each person in the tent. Now, if they gathered a little, they had one omer for everybody in the tent. And if they gathered a lot, they had one omer for everybody in the tent. An omer was about 2 quarts, about 1/2 gallon. So if you had on the sixth day, it doubled. So it was about 1 gallon for each person. Now, I, being the kind of person I am, after a while, you'd kind of figure out, now wait, if I gather a little, it's an omer. If I gather a lot, it's an omer. I'm just going to gather a little. But wouldn't you go back to the tent, and on the way you're looking, and then you're watching it the whole time, stumbling along, just like somebody with a smartphone, and you're trying to watch the thing to say, "Look, I only put half an omer. I filled up it deliberately to have half an omer a person, and it's going to be an omer by the time I get to the tent," or whatever, and keep watching it. And finally somebody would say, Fred, and you turn your head and then you look back and there it is. That's... But on the sixth day they shall prepare what they bring in, it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord. By the way, he also gave them quail at this particular time. Didn't do that every night. Think I would have prayed, I'd like some quail. But I don't know, after a while, wouldn't you get even tired of quail? How many of you have had quail? I like quail. Okay. He hears your murmurings against the Lord. What are we that you murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full, for the Lord hears your murmurings which you make against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord, which is true for a lot of the murmurings we have. You know, God allows some trial to come on us. All right, let's drop down and read verse 12 through 31. Verses 12 through 31. And so it says, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. So it was that quails came up at evening, covered the camp. In the morning, the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, wouldn't you want to kind of look for that too? Get out. I'm going to go out early this morning. I want to watch that dew. Of course, maybe it comes in the middle of the night while it's still dark. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance, as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? Anybody know what the Hebrew word for what is? The Hebrew word for what? Manna. Manna. That's it. So they went out. Actually, all they said was they went out and they looked on the ground. They said, manna. 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 That's what's. What's. What's it? So they began, for the rest of their lives, they call that stuff down there manna. What? It's a good name. Never did figure it out what it was. So they just called it what every time. What is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing, excuse me here, which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need. One omer for each person, according to the number of persons, let every man take for those who are in his tent. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. So when they measured it by omers, he who had gathered much had nothing over. So he worked himself out there and didn't get any more than one omer. And he who had gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. And Moses said, let no one leave any of it till morning. Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning. Ah, what a surprise. I mean, you tell your children, don't leave that on the floor. What happens? It's left on the floor. And we could say, ha ha, you children, wait, I remember, I was a child once. And we're all sort of pretty much children. I mean, even to this day, you can tell people, don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other, and they do it. Don't, you know, turn around, don't drown. Every flood that comes along, somebody goes through the moving water. And, of course, a lot of people know, well, if it's not moving, it's not so bad. Although what you don't know, and this is the problem, is sometimes there was moving water and the road's gone. Haven't you seen that? Yeah, and here's a car, it's driving along, going just fine. All of a sudden it goes like that because the road has been washed out. And you can't tell it because there's water. And every now and then you'll see, there it is. So, well, nevertheless, they didn't heed Moses. Some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was angry with them. So they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need. When the sun became hot, it melted. And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And the rulers of the congregation came, told Moses, they gathered whether little or more. It ended up being two omers, a gallon, about a gallon, maybe a little more than a gallon, about 4 liters. Then he said to them, "This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord." Now notice, it's a holy Sabbath to the Lord. That's important. It says it's holy to the Lord. "Bake what you will bake today. Boil what you will boil." So there, they actually had a little variety. Say, "Do you want boiled manna today?" "No, I had boiled manna this morning. Let's have some baked manna." Yeah, wow. "And lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning." So they could have double. They could keep it over. It would not breed worms and stink. Now here's an interesting thing. Have you ever heard people say, "I just think it's important that you keep one day a week"? Of course, some people will say, "I think we should keep every day holy." Okay, fine. Listen, most Sunday keepers don't even keep Sunday holy. They keep the morning holy, sort of. They don't keep it holy because you can't keep holy what God has not made holy. I mean, when Moses showed up and saw the burning bush, God said, "The ground on which you stand is holy." Now, it wasn't holy because Moses made it holy. It was because God was there. Where we meet over in Brentwood, we meet in the Brentwood First Presbyterian Church, and that place where we meet is called the sanctuary. Sanctuary comes from the Latin sanctus, which means holy. Saint comes from the word sanctus, holy. So that's supposed to be the holy room upstairs, and then downstairs is, you know, just the fellowship room. But they probably got together when they first built that church, and then they held a commitment, and they were asking God to bless that and made that the sanctuary. But you know, they can't make it holy. Only God can make it. The only reason that bush and the ground was holy, because God was there and He said it was holy. Now, I did tell the people in Brentwood that the room was, while they're there, holy. Not because of the carpet or the walls, or the ceiling. It's not a temple. However, God's temple came to the room. And that's, God was dwelling in His people. And when they all leave, there's nothing holy about the room. But the same here. And He says, you know, you keep this day. People say, "Well, I keep Sunday," but they don't. My neighbors, even one of my neighbors is a Southern Baptist pastor, but I think even he gets out occasionally and mows the lawn and does what he needs. And maybe, I don't know, he's a nice guy, really. Far too nice to be here with us. God's not going to call him. Too nice a guy. And, you know, which reminds me, by the way, some people here that, you know, it's easy to walk in and say, "I see a few strange faces, and they're the ones who were here last week and week before like that, and week every time I come, those same strange faces are here." And then there's some new people, too. But God called the weak of the world, not many mighty and noble, and there's only one mighty and noble person here, and that's you in your seat. The rest of us, we're the weak of the world. But, you know, they couldn't choose which day to keep. What if somebody said, "I think I'll just keep first day of the week"? So then he goes out on the seventh. He says, "I'm not going to keep double on the sixth day. I'm just going to, you know, maybe it'll breed worms stink because I'm not keeping the seventh day. So I'm throwing all the manna outside. And even though there was twice as much, I'm getting rid of it because I'm not keeping the seventh day. I'm going to keep the first day of the week." So he throws it out, and then he goes out on the seventh day like some of them did, and there's nothing there. So it can be a nice hungry day. And then he says, but I'm keeping Sunday. So I'm not going to go, first day of the week, I'm not going to go out and gather. So now he didn't eat anything the seventh day because he threw it out. And now he's going out to gather. He's not going to gather on the first day of the week because that's his holy day. So he got two hungry days. You know, God didn't give them a chance to choose. He forced them. He forced them that they had to keep that day. God made it holy. It was holy to the Lord, he says. Well, it's the holy Sabbath to the Lord. I want to read something from... this is a Catholic commentary. The Jerome Biblical Commentary. Jerome didn't write it. He lived in the 4th century, as I recall. He helped translate the Bible into Latin. And he was a... we call him now one of the Catholic fathers. They would call him one of their fathers, one of the scholars that they had. So it's named after him. It is Catholic. It's proved by the Catholic Church. And now, I could have copied... I brought a bunch of books. I could have copied this book. Just copied the page and brought the page. So why didn't I do that? Would have been a lot easier, right? I don't know. I just think it's impressive to hold this book up in front of you. You think so? I mean, doesn't that kind of carry a little more weight when you actually see the book? So here's a Catholic scholar writing in here, in this particular one. And make sure I have the right page. Yep. Here's what they say about Exodus 16, verse 23. In this book, right there that you have. It, oh, by the way, before I even read it, you know how when something, you want to kind of cover both sides of an issue, you don't want to, you want to be kind of definite, but then kind of be indefinite. You want to kind of say, well, yeah, the Sabbath is definite, but you know, we Catholics don't keep it, so we want it to be a little indefinite. So it's going to kind of be absolute, and then in a few words later, maybe. Listen to this. From Exodus 16, 23, it is clear. Let me interrupt. Clear means definite to me. It is clear that the Sabbath probably existed long before its expression in the Decalogue. What's the Decalogue? Ten Commandments. Deca, Latin, ten. The Decalogue. Log means word or spoken. Say the ten words, Decalogue. All right, there you are. It's clear the Sabbath probably existed, clear, long before its expression in the Decalogue. That is chapter 20. So there you go. They'll admit the Sabbath was there. That's not the beginning of the Sabbath, even in chapter 16. So let's continue reading. Verse 24. So they laid it up till morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Sabbath to the Lord. See? Not to Moses. Not to just the Jews. Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. Of course, we know what some of them are going to do. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, there will be none. Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, poor Moses, he gets caught in between. How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? Now, notice this is before Sinai, a couple weeks before Sinai, this Sabbath. How long do you refuse to keep my commandments, that's plural, and my laws, that's plural. Not just commandments, not just laws, commandments and laws. See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the Sabbath, seventh day. Now, God later allowed them to go out of their place and do things. They kept it a little differently, and they would go to meetings and things like that. And people had to go out of the camp in order to go to the bathroom. But basically, he did not want them working that day. That was the point. Just like when my kids were little, and maybe when your kids were little, and maybe when you were a little kid, your parents, or you told your children, certain things they were not allowed to do on the Sabbath. Now, they were still children. For us, we let our children play. Children play. You don't stop them from playing, but we didn't have them play wild games outside. We had them play quieter things. So just to get used to, this is a different day. This is a special day. Teaching them. I think this was the fifth Sabbath in counting Pentecost. 7 weeks. So the people rested on the seventh day, and the house of Israel called its name manna, or what? And it was like white coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey, which sounds actually pretty good, though it is something I think I could get tired of after a few months of nothing else. So let's turn to Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Exodus 20, and I'm turning here not because this is before Sinai, but it refers to something before Sinai. It refers back. And that is, he lists the Ten Commandments, long form. And he says, we're going to read Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day. So it's something that was there before to keep it holy. It's already holy. We just keep it. We don't make it holy. We keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Notice the Sabbath, not of the Jews, of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in six... Now he's referring back. I said Sabbath before Sinai. Now here at Sinai, he is referring... Well, let's see, for you it would be this way. That back is that way for you, isn't it? That's the way we read, see? For in from left to right. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Why did he rest? Well, God never gets tired. It says in Isaiah 40, verse 28, that God is never weary. So why did he rest? Well, why did Jesus get baptized? He hadn't sinned. But he says this is necessary to perform all, because it's command. And so he did what God was going to command to all people, to be baptized. It says repent and be baptized. So, not just the command to be baptized, command to repent and be baptized. In 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Now, what he was doing is like you and I often do, is we set an example for our children. I drove the speed limit. I didn't go over the speed limit. A lot of people say, well, there's nothing wrong. They don't mind you going over the speed limit, 5-10 miles an hour. But I knew if I went over 5 miles an hour and my kids saw me going over 5 miles an hour, and if the speed limit said 70 and I'm going 75, and you could be different, but I thought, I just as sure as my kids are driving, well, Dad went over 5, I can go over 10. See? So whatever I allowed myself, they're going to double as a minimum. So I did not want my children going over the speed limit 1 mile an hour. All right, you're going to drift a little. Last night, even my cruise control drifts over, going right when it goes over the hill. It tops the hill, starts down, goes over 1 mile an hour. Of course, when it gets on the bottom and starts up, it goes under. So it evens out. And rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. God blessed it and hallowed it. God did that. Not a man. But God never gets tired. Now here is a Protestant commentary. This is the New Bible Commentary Revised. You know, I could look in. Look how worn that thing is. It was new at one time. But they call it, you know, when it's 100 years old, it'll still be called the New Bible Commentary Revised. That's even newer. So here is a Protestant comment that is here. And they comment on this particular word where it says, remember the Sabbath day. And they comment on the word remember. Remember, this is no new commandment. It goes back to Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. So even they're saying this. Sabbath's not new. God rested to set an example for Adam and Eve. Sabbath was made for man. There wasn't but one man. Of course, there was a woman. And so he set an example for them, even though he wasn't tired. It goes back to Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. This could have been forgotten by the Israelites while in Egypt. It was, listen to this, it was to be observed perpetually. Wait. Hello? Are you keeping this? You know, makes you wonder. This, some scholar, some doctor of divinity, I could look up which one it was. Different ones wrote different chapters, different books in here. Some scholar at some Bible college or seminary, they have different ones. Each one of them will do a different book. And here is this one that did this. It was to be observed perpetually. Wow. I'd like to ask that guy about that. Reminds me of over in Brentwood, the pastor when we first started there, elderly man, Tom Baker. And when he died, and he and I had become friends, they asked me to come say a few things, but I didn't give the actual funeral oration. It was a Presbyterian minister, happened to be a woman. And she said that he has died and is waiting for the resurrection. I mean, she made it very clear that he was not in heaven. He's waiting for the resurrection. Well, it kind of stunned me. I mean, I had said a few things, but I didn't say that. I didn't want to think it was my place to stand up there and tell them that he's not in heaven. So I waited till it was all over, and I went up to her after everything was over at the graveyard, and I said, now, you said that Tom is in the grave waiting for the resurrection. She thought I was taking her to task, and she turned to me. She kind of snippily said to me, well, it's what the Bible teaches. And my response was, yeah, I know that, but that isn't what people believe. Well, it's what the Bible teaches. Well, good. No? Let's turn to Exodus 31, verses 13 through 17. Tom was a really nice guy. Far too nice. Far too nice for God to have called him in this life. He was really a nice guy. Truly nice. Not putting you down. Remember, I've already told you, there is one person here that not many mighty, not many noble, and there's only one in this congregation sitting in your chair. Everybody else around you, we're not. Exodus 31, verse 13. And speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. There's that Latin word they've used, sanctifies, means who makes you holy. I am the Lord who makes you holy. He makes you. He says, I'm making you holy. And that's the reason you should be keeping the Sabbath. And it's a sign between me and you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore. That is because you're to be holy. It's God's holy Sabbath. Therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. Now, we don't carry that out. They did back in Israel. Sometimes somebody would profane the Sabbath. They'd take them out and stone them. Of course, they wanted to do that to Jesus. He hadn't profaned the Sabbath. All he did was heal on the Sabbath. And they thought that was evil and wicked. It certainly was not. That's certainly something that is good. To do something nice for somebody who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. God doesn't want us to go into a yoga trance and just lie there where our heartbeat slows down, our respiratory rate slows down to about 20, and our heartbeat's barely going, you know, bump, bump. And he looks down and sees we're all passed out. And he says, oh, they're keeping my Sabbath. That's wonderful. God wants us, you know, it's a day. The Sabbath is based on love. Jesus said, what is the greatest commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the prophets, the law and the prophets. I mean, all of God's law is based on love. So what is loving to do today to God and man? That's the question. We're usually so busy working every day, we don't spend much time figuring out how to show somebody love. We're too busy. But whoever does any work on it, that is our own personal earning money or whatever, you know, that we feel, boy, I really would like to get out and mow the grass or work on the car or do the laundry. Isn't it? It's a great day to not have to do ironing. Of course, who does ironing anymore? No show of hands. That person shall be... I don't. I don't iron. I didn't iron this shirt. It just hangs out. I throw it in the washer and then the dryer and put it on the hanger and put it on me. I do put collar. This is one of those with collar stays, so I do put that. That person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Not holy to everybody. And as they say, you know, that person will be put to death. You know, it says we don't go out and stone people. If we decided we were going to go out and find somebody working today and stone them, it wouldn't be long until we'd be the ones all be stoned. You know, there's a whole lot more people who are not keeping the Sabbath and would love to stone us, maybe, if we tried to do that. But you know, there's still the result, the wages of sin breaking the law is death. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, I'm under grace, and that's good. We should be under grace. But then they turn grace into lasciviousness and say, well, you know, yeah, I did lie, but I'm under grace. Well, it says back in Revelation 21 that all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. And that person might have thought he was under grace, but he lied. Now, if he repented, but repenting means wishing you hadn't done it. And if you could go back, you wouldn't do it. And you quit lying. But, oh, to them, it reminds me when suddenly the church discovered grace in 1995. I was trying to teach grace, but it was suddenly discovered for a lot of people. Oh, there is grace. And one woman went to another woman and said, well, this man out where I live has been wanting me to live with him, and I'm thinking maybe I should go ahead and we should just start sleeping together. And the other woman said, why are you going to do that? And one said, well, because of grace. Wasn't anybody here? That was in the War Memorial Auditorium. I don't even know who it was. But the lady came and told me that that's what another lady had said to her. Well, grace and lasciviousness. People still doing that. We're just all under grace. And we are, if we have repented. And part of that's keeping the Sabbath that is holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. Same thing that Protestant minister said, it's perpetual. Perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. And of course, we are all to become children of Israel. We are all to become Jews. It even says in Ezekiel, in the new temple, that no one shall enter into God's temple. Now, this is in the millennium. Because it's the new temple. It's not the temple in the Bible. It's not the temple of Revelation 22. It is the temple that where the, you know, it says Christ is going to come, Messiah, and he will purify the sons of Levi that they may offer an offering in righteousness. And there are the sons of Levi going to be having offerings. But it says no one will enter in to his temple that is uncircumcised in heart or flesh. So the whole world will become circumcised if they want to enter in. Of course, ladies have an advantage right there. But most of us who are circumcised don't remember it. Don't remember it at all. Sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Of course, he wasn't tired. I want to turn now to the New Bible Dictionary. Now, that was the New Bible Commentary before. This is the New Bible Dictionary. So I'm just letting you know it's a different book. See, it's not as beat up. It actually looks new, kind of shiny, right here. Page 1042. Not that you worry about that. Talking about the Sabbath, right here. About God resting. The language is anthropomorphic. Boy, don't you love that? I use words like that and go home and Lucretia says, why do you use words like that? But I'm just reading it out of this book. Anthropomorphic. Anybody know what anthropomorphic? You're talking about God resting. Anybody remember, know what anthropomorphic means? Okay. Anthro means, anybody? Man, humans. Anthropologists study humans. Anthropomorphic change. So, you're changing God into a man. In other words, God comes down and he says, he describes himself like a human being, as if, well, I rested. Well, when don't you rest? Well, I mean, you quit doing something, but you're never tired anyway. Did you lie down, take a nap? No. But he described, we picture God somewhat like a man. And God pictures himself somewhat like a human being, a lot like a human being. And it's for our benefit. So the language, I rested, as if he were tired, which he wasn't, is anthropomorphic. For God is not a weary workman in need of rest. Nevertheless, the pattern is here set for man to follow. Ooh, this is another Protestant book. Wow. This is different Protestant guys, although Samuel Bakayoko was also quoted here, his book From Sabbath to Sunday. How many of you happen to have that at home? There you go. They got part of that from here. But it's also, the guy who actually put this together is a guy named Jay Orr. If I looked at the beginning, I'd find out what kind of a doctor of divinity he was. But I think that's interesting, right there in the Protestant book. And we now let's turn to Mark chapter 2. How much time we got left? Oh, there's enough time. I think we can finish up, and I can still talk a little bit about my grandchildren. I'm sure that Autumn would just love for me to have her stand up and let me tell how wonderful she is and how much, you know, entertainment she has brought us through all the years, and ask her what she's done recently. Probably not. Now, her sister might jump up and say, okay. Maybe not. Mark 2. I'm talking instead of turning. This is a scripture that is often used by different people to justify not keeping the Sabbath. Mark chapter 2, verse 23 through 28. Verse 23 through 28. And people say, oh, we don't have to keep the Sabbath, because of one little statement in here, and they don't realize what it isn't saying. It says here, verse 23, now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. Now, they were hungry. There was a food right there. How much work is it to reach down and grab a head of grain? Now, you would have to take it and put it in your hand and rub it and open up your hand and go blow the chaff away. Otherwise, it would really not be pleasant to eat. So you get it down. Maybe some of you have taken hard wheat or barley, this could have been, and just chewed it. You know, it kind of crunches up. You can eat it. But they were eating it. Was not that much work. Wasn't really work. Just picking up food, making it ready to eat, blow it off, pop it in your mouth, chew it up. So Jesus never said, well, we don't have to keep Sabbath, but he did disagree with the way they kept it. And as they went, they began to pluck the heads of grain. The Pharisees said, look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath? See, they really got upset when he healed on the Sabbath. But he said to them, have you never read? Now, he's not going to give an example of somebody doing this on the Sabbath, but he's going to give an example of an ox in the ditch or a difficult point. And the point of the Sabbath is love. And if somebody's hungry, you do what's necessary to get them fed, even if that involved going to the store and getting something. Somebody needed something to eat. Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priest, and also gave some to those who were with him. They knew that that law was not intended to let people go hungry. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Now, people cling to that part where it says, and not man for the Sabbath. And it's true, man was not made for the Sabbath. If God were going to make man for the Sabbath, he would have made man, he would have made the Sabbath, and then the next day made man. But he didn't do that. He made man, and the next day he made the Sabbath for man. He didn't make it for angels. Now, the only man that was there was Adam. Of course, there was Eve, and the word man meant human. He made it for human beings. And so he made human beings, then made it for them. Man wasn't made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Now, I want to turn to the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. Right here. This is actually a four-volume set. So, aren't you glad I didn't bring all four volumes? This is volume number 3. It's under the section Law in the New Testament. Now here, they're going to talk about this particular verse. And just, if you think the other things I read about them saying that the Sabbath was to be kept perpetually, and you think, are they doing that? This is going to blow your mind, or my mind, a little more. I can probably go back, find the guy. I could look up where he teaches and all. Fourth commandment. Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Mark chapter 2, verse 27. Now, this man says this, although many regard this teaching as tantamount to a rejection of the Mosaic law, a lot of people do, they agree with the law, Christ actually affirmed the Sabbath by saying that it was made not just for the Jews, but for mankind, and was made not for one time, but for all time, presumably. Now he had to throw, presumably. But it's made for all time. That reminds me, I saw a video the other day, and they took little babies who were big enough to sit up in a high chair and, and grab things and stick them in their mouth, and gave them all a slice of lemon. And the faces that the babies made, some of them enjoyed it, but most of them, it was, they didn't cry. And, with my kids, we'd give them a lemon. We'd be out at a restaurant, they'd have sliced lemons, give them a little lemon, and they would take, and often would just screw up their face and look like they were going to cry, and then put it back and just keep going. And I think it was Debbie that really was the one who just loved lemons when she was little. One of them did. But anyway, it was made not just for the Jews, but for mankind, and was made not for one time, but for all time, presumably. He observed the Sabbath, worshiping and teaching in the synagogue. His conflicts with the scribes and Pharisees concerned his doing good on the Sabbath, which he said did not violate the law. Since the Sabbath was made for people and not vice versa, people cannot determine or use it as they please. It would then cease to be the Sabbath and become a day that people, not God, define. Thus, in this statement that Christians commonly take today as liberating them from Sabbatical law, Christ actually bound his followers more tightly to it. It is to remember, of course, that God requires man to love mercy as well as do rightly and walk humbly on the Sabbath. That is the law. Boy, that just amazes me that that would be in there. And then I want to read back to the New Bible Dictionary. Barely going to have time for Autumn to stand up and me talk about how wonderful she is, how beautiful she is, how she needs to eat a little more. Poor thing. You know what's worse than having, I don't know which is worse. What's worse, having your father get up here and give a sermon and use his family as examples, or having grandpa, papa, get up here and give a sermon and use the grandchildren as examples? I don't know. Which is worse? About the same? All the same? Maybe. Could hardly get worse than papa, I'll tell you what. But maybe daddy tries. Maybe it could be. All right, I want to read the New Bible Dictionary. From the reason given for keeping the Sabbath day in the Ten Commandments, we learn that the example for the Sabbath rest had been set by God Himself in the creation. The Sabbath, therefore, is a creation ordinance. So, I'll just finish with that and remind us that the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath, and it was made for all of us. And all of these refer back to the Sabbath before Sinai. And I will not be hanging around. Judy didn't call, but I'll be headed home. Nice to be here with you. Someday I'll be able to stay afterward, God willing. Be nice if she were here to stay with us.